Okay, everybody, welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. You have joined us tonight for My Awakening episode 11. I don't know why there's my camera. My Awakening episode 11. So for those who are new to this idea, what this is I'm doing a series of videos besides my other regular shows, which I do. I want to interview various people in the truth communities for all different topics, people that interest me, people that I think are really intelligent, or, you know, people that I think would make a really good interview. So what I'm going to do is get everybody's personal story, how they awoken, the steps they went through. And you guys will kind of get the format. And at the end of the show, as long as there's enough people around that are still watching, if you guys want, we're going to do an after show where that's where we will pay attention to the chat, because we're going to keep these interviews to an hour. So I don't have time to field questions from the chat, but I appreciate the hell out of you guys being there. So what we're going to do is I'm going to give the interview to Courtney. And then when the hour's over, we're going to take like a 15-minute break. Guys, just refresh my channel after about 5 minutes or so. I'll create a new event. Everybody take a quick break, get a drink, go to the bathroom, whatever you got to do. We'll come back. We're going to do the after show, and that's when we're going to take calls and questions from the chat, and that'll give Courtney and myself a little more back and forth rather than me just interviewing him. We're just going to kind of have a little show, and anything he wants to elaborate on, any of the topics we brought up or anything we didn't or any things that want to interest him, that's what we're going to do. So Courtney Janzen, is that how you pronounce it, or is Jansen? It's Janzen, right?
Janzen, J-A-N-Z-E-N, yes, sir.
Janzen. Okay, I just want to make sure I pronounce it right. How are you doing today, bud?
I'm doing excellent, man. I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much for taking your time for me, man.
Oh, man, no problem. I've been waiting to have you on for a little while. This is good. You're near the top of the list of the people I want to have on. I really appreciate what you do. You're a smart guy. And honestly, the people that look into more than one topic, and there's not everybody does that. There's a lot of one topic people out there. But the people like yourself and the other people I've interviewed, it's basically kind of what I stick with, because that's what interests me, you know. And let's just get right to it. You know, people use the term woke up. You know, and I even titled this Awakening, and I don't always even think they're the best terms. I just use that because that, you know, people relate to what that is. What was it for you that first, you know, quote unquote, woke you up? In other words, what first made you realize, rather than just a little speculation, like, oh, I'm not sure if I trust the government, or, I mean, I'm talking about, when did you first realize you cannot trust the world governments and you cannot trust the media because they are completely controlled? For me, it was 9/11. It made me totally realize, well, if they lie about this, they would lie about everything. The media is complicit. The government is complicit. For you, what was it? What was that big moment for you, or big topic?
It was 9/11. I was, after it happened, I was infatuated with it. I was watching documentaries. Anything I could find on it, I would watch or research. Then when Loose Change came out, it was all downhill for me. I couldn't trust. Well, when I grew up too, my parents, especially my mother, she was just like, never trust what you believe on TV. So I just kept that as a kid. But after Loose Change and all these documentaries, regular people doing their own investigations, and for you as well, for instance. But just after that, George Bush holding the book upside down in classrooms. I mean, it was just all rubbish. And Larry Silverstein or whatever his name is telling them to pull it, you know, and it was, oh, it's just too late. Might as well pull it. And then, I don't know. It's after all that, the media and all that just fell apart. It was just over. I don't even watch TV anymore since. It's just bullshit. All bullshit. But yes, 9/11 was the big icebreaker.
Really? All right. People are saying you're a little low. Can you move your mic a little closer to your mouth? If not, I can boot you up a little.
Me? Yeah. Maybe do that. Here, let me try again.
Yeah, that's a lot better. That's a lot better. I can hear it on my end. That's good.
Okay, so there we go. Let's try that.
Yeah, that's much better. So with 9/11 and Loose Change, when did you see Loose Change, and how did you find it?
I was searching for documentaries, and I just thought it was another quote-unquote media documentary about it. This would have been probably roughly around 2004 or 5 when I really started to wake up to some.
Oh, yeah. That's a long time ago. That's a long time ago. That's long.
It was to me. It was a few years after 9/11. Like I said, I was so infatuated with it. And then like I found Loose Change and then found regular people, I guess you could say, doing their own channels and just talking about it. When someone jumps the camera screen, like let's say a sports guy is interviewed, like a baseball player, and a guy runs in, 9/11 was an inside job, and then they would just cut the screen right away, or anything to do with 9/11 it being an inside job, the media would cut. I mean, that's kind of a red flag right there. I mean, if the media is going to cut something that the world just watched these two buildings go down, you want to know the truth about it. I mean, you'd think that the media would be all over it, but if they're cutting information off right away and just, you know, discarding it, I mean, that's a red flag for me. That's straight bullshit.
Oh, absolutely. So, okay. So back to that. So when you, now for me, Loose Change was huge as well. As most of the people in my circles, my co-host James, my late co-host, John, I mean, we all saw Loose Change. There's four versions of it for me. I think it was the third version I saw first, and the third edition, and then the fourth one, the final cut or whatever. And then I saw, you know, part one, part two later. They're all a little different. Now looking back, we both know that there is a lot of disinformation in those movies. But when you're first waking up to it, it's very, very useful to at least get you over that hurdle of thinking, well, airplanes, Muslims, hijackers, you know, all that bullshit.
The whole story and the way the planes, like like especially for what's it called, for the Octagon. I mean, that plane had to have been 10 feet above the ground for it to impact where it was. I mean, that's just
ridiculous. You mean the Pentagon?
Like, fly like this and circle all the way down and then slam in. I mean, like, come on here. Like, what are we talking about?
It is ridiculous. So, okay, so for me, and so you were there before me, so this is an interesting question. So for me, I got into 9/11 in about 2010. I saw a movie called World Trade Center on Netflix, a movie with Nicolas Cage. And it was a propaganda. Oh, yeah. Well, it's a big propaganda piece. It's not an informational documentary like Loose Change or In Plain Sight or any of these movies. It's a motion picture. Nicolas Cage is like a fireman, and he's caught in a, you know, an elevator after the towers come down and all this crap, and people are getting pulled out of the rubble. Let's talk about No Planes, because for me, you know, 9/11, you know, I got into it. Well, it's big.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it's the line in the sand, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, at first, I mean, at some angles, when you're looking at the World Trade Center, the way the plane looks, the wings just look awkward. When you're watching the plane slam into the buildings, there's nothing being broken off. The wings aren't being torn off. I did that one meme where they show the plane flying, and you can see the wing go behind the building. I mean, that right there is CGI.
Yeah.
I guess the guy
was the helicopter shot.
And the guy who was in the helicopter, he had just got out of school or something for graphic design for media or something, and then you see the nose popping out on the other side. I mean, just so many. But I mean, at the time it happened, I mean, that's the best graphics I've ever seen. I mean, in 2001. I mean, the whole world thought that was real. I mean,
yeah.
It just, but yeah, the no planes, I 100% agree there was no planes. I 100% agree there's no jumpers. To me, I mean, I'm sure people died. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. I didn't witness it. I never experienced the whole tragedy, but I'm sure people died, got hurt, but not to the far extent that the media wants you to believe.
So what, okay, so I know that with Loose Change, when you first see it, and you first wake up, it's a powerful, powerful thing. So if something is going to tell you different than what you saw in there, like for instance, I know that they don't support the no plane theory. So when did you first come across questioning no planes? What type of reaction did you get? Like, what year was that, do you think? Because I know there weren't a lot of people talk in 2005. I can tell you that. I know that much.
Yeah, no, the no planes is very recent. So when I heard of that, I did the research right away, and that one of the first videos I saw was that wing disappearing, and then you watch the plane going into the building, and then they kind of reverse it and then bring it back, reverse it, bring it back, and then with that the nose flying out on the other side, like all that together, you know, I don't, maybe it was a missile of some sort. I don't know. Maybe it was some sort of drone, but it was something small. I'm sure that hit that, if anything, but I wasn't there. I don't know, but I definitely know there was no planes. I mean, there's birds hitting planes and they got to land down this plane, like the wings are torn off and stuff like that. From
oh yeah, a bird will smash right through the nose bone of a plane, but right, you'll have a
nose is flying through all this. Right, right, and then you got all this, like this nose flying through all this steel. Like I don't know how thick this steel was at this in this building, but I mean, it's just I don't know. It's I grew up watching CGI effects. I love my cartoons. I love my movies. I love like this Avengers kind of stuff. I love the CGI effects. When I was growing up, I would always try to figure out if, like, let's say you have like what's that movie called? 10,000 BC or whatever. I don't know if you've seen that movie.
Oh, I don't think.
Part where he falls in. It's an old movie. This guy falls into a pit and there's water and there's a tiger in there with him, but the tiger's all CGI. But how the tiger was reacting with the water, you could almost tell it was fake, but almost at the same time it was real. But now it's probably outdated. So I was trying to train my eye over and over and over to see CGI to see what the difference is and everything. But after watching those planes and stuff like that and just cross-referencing material, it's became laughable. When people laugh about the planes, the no plane theory, I show them that one video where that wing just disappears when it's supposed to be in front of the building. But as it just doesn't go behind the building. It like, I can't explain what it does. It kind of goes with the corner of the building. Like it just glides with it. Like it just kind of rolls over it. I don't know. It's.
And then on top of that, the plane melts into the building after that. There's no hole right away. There's no damage on the plane. There's no part shearing off. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Okay. So when I first looked into no planes, I still do, but I mean, I got so much heat because in 2010, like there wasn't people talking about it. There was really a small, really, really, really small handful of us. Do you remember when the year you first started looking into no planes?
Oh man, it would have been so recent, 2014, maybe 15.
Oh, okay. So it is fairly recent then. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you're the one who introduced me to no jumpers. Mm-hmm. So I had to go back to the drawing board on that, and that's another one that just blew my mind. Like after some of the links you sent me and stuff, I had to sit down there for a minute, because that's with the media. I was more mad at the media lying to me about 9/11 than I was about Flat Earth, because Flat Earth got you excited. But yeah, and finding, because I felt when that happened, the whole world stopped and directed their fear and sadness energy to that point in time. And I was a part of that. Now, seeing people jumping and, like, apparently hearing the bodies hit the ground and exploding, like, I felt that in my stomach. Like, it made me want to puke. And then when you showed me that, I kind of had to do the cognitive dissonance and conditioning and programming and detonating, right? Well, in one ear and out the other. So I did that. And then when I found out that most of it's fake and it is all fake, it was like a big burden just left off me. I was like, okay, well, no, those guys didn't jump in.
Exactly. You know, that's a great point. That's the thing with 9/11 and these other events, you know, even these other, you know, after looking at 9/11 and if you believe it for a while, then you disbelieve the official story, but you still believe, you know, the narrative of it. And the narrative of 9/11 is this: they don't care what fucking theory you believe as long as it involves thousands of people dying. So they don't care if you think it's, no, space beams, directed energy weapons, mini nukes, thermite, Muslims, hopefully, is what they originally want you to believe. As long as you believe that 3,000 people, or, you know, they'll let some people believe, you know, okay, you know, you get mocked for being a no-planer for New York, but it's okay to be a no-planer for Shanksville and Pentagon, which is absolutely accurate. That's logic to me. I've gone on shows where, like, Fetzer, you know, oh, I found all the witnesses to be credible in New York, but then when he talks about people that say they saw a plane in Shanksville, which we know there wasn't, oh well, those ones aren't credible. So they're picking and choosing their witnesses. But no, there weren't any planes. The thing is, it gets deeper than that, because okay, there's an obvious agenda in 9/11 against the no plane theory, and you remember the division in 9/11 between planes and no planes. It's probably the strongest division I've seen in even more than people think. All the division in flat earth between dome and no dome, that's nothing. That's just a little argument back and forth. Like, for being a no planer, we were no plane, no brain. The alternative media, this is where I want to go with this. The alternative media would bash us. They'll spin their own little stories. People like Alex Jones and all these people, that the way that he would attack no planes and his little group of buddies there, like Jason Burmess and all these guys, I was already seeing that it was no planes. And when he started trashing us and calling us morons and this and that, just like people call you a flat tire, same shit, the same shit. So when he started doing that, I'm like, wow, that's when I really had to question, hey, this guy, this is what I said, Courtney. I said, you know, people can say, okay, this person might not know what you know. And I've said this on my last show. You might not research what I researched. I might not research what you researched. But when you're Alex Jones and you're supposed to be the voice of this truth movement and 9/11 and you have teams researching, how the fuck do you not know that the fucking planes were fake? You know? So I want to know for you, when you actually realize, and I don't mean just Alex Jones, but for everybody, when they go through this process of awakening, you go from trusting what you were taught in school, trusting the media.
Yep.
Then you get to a point where you don't trust that, like we talked about in 2005 for you. But then you fall into this net of gatekeepers. And I don't like to throw the word gatekeepers and shows out there with the people in the truth community, but people like Alex Jones. Yeah, but it's appropriate for people like Alex Jones, Joe Rogan, these type of people. So when did you realize that? Because I'm sure for a little bit you trusted the alternative media. I know I did. I hear Alex Jones come on the radio, the guy screaming about 9/11 is an inside job. You never heard anybody say that before, you know, and the guy's passionate. Right. So, oh, this guy's about the truth. What was it for you that made you realize that these people in the alternative media were just another layer of the onion?
Because I didn't already know about flat earth, but basically if they denied the Bible, denied the no planes, denied that 9/11 was an inside job, like Joe Rogan, for instance, he was all about conspiracies. He was all about, he had his own little show there. I forget what it was called there. He had like six.
Joe Rogan questions everything.
So he went so far, I think he might have pushed too many buttons, and then the elite or whoever told him to, like, you know, if you don't back up, we're going to take your show away or whatever like that. Long story short, basically, if they go into something and they're yelling at you saying that this is a conspiracy and whatever, whatever, and then they retract it and they're like a totally different person, and if they deny the Bible and stuff like that, I basically walk away. Like Alex Jones, he got weird. I mean, they're kind of flipping it now with this whole homosexual frog thing, but it wasn't their turning frogs to be gay. They're working on this gene or whatever that they're manipulating. But Alex Jones, David Icke, like he was like, the whole reptilian thing. I mean, I'm looking at it a different view than they are, but denying the Bible, retracting what you say, and just being a sellout to, you know.
I'm saying Joe Rogan literally defines the word sellout. I mean, he went on camera and said, I would shill for you and lie, would even lie to my own mother's face. Then he disappears from that TV show. This is what really happened. He already had that show. He disappeared from that show, came back like a year later. They gave him a brand new huge podcast, which is like the biggest podcast around now. And his first episode, he has Neil deGrasse Tyson on. And then he does a complete 180 on the moon landings.
Right.
And a 180, and everybody that knows how he used to talk about the moon landing, and the last thing I want to do is praise Joe Rogan, but back in the day, he was good. Back in the day, he knew the moon landing just like me and you. I mean, he would tell you there's 47,000 tapes of missing telemetry data. He would tell you about the Van Allen belts. Yeah. He would tell you about a funny thing happened on the way to the moon. He would tell you about all of this for him, and it's fine, people. You can change your mind on things. It's cool. Once you realize that the moon landing's fake, how do you go back on it? It's not like you presented a few fake images to me. I'm like, oh yeah, that looks fake, and I went with it for a little bit. I mean, he knew the ins and outs of it, the ins and outs, and he went back and he's gone so far back and gone so official story. He had a guest on, and I heard Joe Rogan come out and say that World Trade Center 7 was caused by small office fires. He said this recently. That's how far he's gone back.
Joe Rogan used to talk about government conspiracies and moon landings in his stand-up. That's how far he was into this. And now, like you said, just that 180 after his show. I mean, his show was, I was into that show. Then again, it was mainstream media as well. I mean, who knows what they're hiding there, but he was all about the conspiracies and talking about it. Now he's done a 180 to retract everything he says. I mean, that's another red flag right there. I mean, that's a huge red flag.
Yeah, and his 180 that he did, he literally used the same exact tone of voice and terminology, because when he was talking about the moon landing before, I think it might have even been at the end of one of those comedy skits you spoke of, he said, "There's no way we went to the moon. There's no way." In those exact words. And then when Neil deGrasse Tyson came out, Tyson brought up the moon landings, and he said, "There's no way we didn't go to the moon. There's no way." And it's like, oh, my God. And he just goes on. Well, we'll get more into him. But he goes on and on every month or so and bashes flat earthers. It's absolutely ridiculous. So back to the gatekeepers before we move on to the timeline of topics here and some other stuff. What did you take away from that experience of being misled by these people that you had a newfound trust in?
Just basically don't believe everything you hear and research, and cross-reference material. I mean, keep your truther friends close and your shills closer, man. I mean, everyone, like, I love Mark Sargent. I mean, I do. I really like him. He's one of the, with Eric Dubay, he was one of the first two I got into. Everyone's calling him a shill. I mean, you know, I mean, I did, like, what's his name? The Flat Earth Asshole.
Oh,
remember him?
Yeah, oh, of course. And I used to like him, and then he just totally lost his shit. He used to he got into his little beef with Matt Powerland, and then Matt Powerland lost his shit. But then Joe went and lost his shit. I mean, Jake, the Flat Earth Asshole, went and lost his shit while they were beefing. And then after that, I mean, he went crazy. He started calling anybody that ever used an AE map a shill. He told D-Mobble he had a loaded chamber ready for him, like he was going to shoot him because he wore a freaking Flat Earth shirt with a AE map on there. And then he just goes on videos, and he went on a video on Antonio Zubrot's channel. He was screaming for like 15 minutes saying, "Fuck you, Patricia you went out with Patricia Steer and she's a transsexual and this and that." It's like, dude, it's so ridiculous. And I'm not saying I'm friends with all these people, but I do talk to some of these better known flat earthers and we have good conversations. And I think that if you are calling people a shill and you don't have evidence for it, whether you intend to or not, you are the one that's shilling.
You were discussing that in your last one of your episodes the other day there that I was watching. I mean, if you don't have the proof, just don't call it out. But to me, flat earth asshole, when I saw him wearing a shirt, it was an Illuminati shirt, and then I seen him wearing something, or he had a 33, the number 33 around him. That right there was a red flag. I just stopped watching him. He did have some good points, but to me, he was a poor excuse for a gatekeeper. He tried. He failed.
He was good in the beginning because he had his own little style. He came out with something.
I followed him. I was with him, and then he just – who knows? He just went all crazy. He was calling like a bunch on a bunch of Facebook pages and threads. He was like talking, yelling at people, like capitalizing letters and stuff. And people were memeing him. And then all of a sudden, like right now, to me, I don't know. I haven't seen any of his videos. I haven't seen anything new of him.
I don't even bother anymore. I don't even bother. He lost my interest. Yeah, he made good videos in the beginning. I'm going to tell you. When he first shot the video where he got real emotional and he was like walking through the streets filming it. I don't know if you remember that one. I think he was walking his dog. That one was really good. And then he had those versus videos, the ones like the versus video against Rogan and Mick West. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
That was really good.
But
then after that, I mean, he just lost it. Okay, so back to – okay, so you get to the 9/11. I want to go through some of the other topics that you talked about. Like for me, 9/11 led me to – Gabby Giffords, Sandy Hook, NASA in 2012, satellites, ISS, Flat Earth 2014, Mandela Effect later on. Where did 9/11 take you to? Did it take you to vaccines? Did it take you to Sandy Hook? Did it take you to questioning all terrorism? Obviously, you're gonna, after 9/11, you're going to question everything you're going to see. But what was the next big one for you that grabbed your interest and you studied for more than a week or so?
Before that, it was what's it called here? So 2004, 2005, after 9/11, I got it back into doing biblical stuff. Sherry Shriner. Do you know who she was?
No, I don't. Sorry about that ringing sound. Somebody was trying to call.
She recently just passed away. She recently just passed away. After 9/11, after knowing all the media was fake and stuff like that, I just started going more into the biblical stuff. I actually went into Kent Hovind next, where he was evolutionist. And then it was Pastor Anderson. I just basically went to after 9/11, I went straight to the Bible and doing Genesis and all that. It wasn't really much after that. I'm mostly all biblical stuff, then the evolution stuff. But the middle of 2014, I do remember coming across a meme that says, if you ever feel stupid, it's 2014, people read the Bible and believe the earth is flat. And my cognitive dissonance just went one ear and out the other. Then I came across that, Eric Dubé. And when he was talking, some of the stuff he was describing was making so much sense that he had a video of the camera was up in like whatever elevation, but it was at eye level. And I literally felt my brain like rewriting itself. I'm like watching the screen. I'm going, I'm like screaming at the screen. I'm like, no way. But basically after 9/11, it was not so much vaccines. I was just basically went into the Bible, Book of Revelations, Genesis, all that kind of stuff. Then I slowly fell into CERN, not so much with the Mandela effect, but we'll talk about it later when we get to it, of what they're doing. But after 9/11, it was all biblical for a while because I just didn't understand aliens. All my evolutional friends were like owning me in debates. I needed to figure it out. So I didn't work for almost 8 years, 9 years. I was just doing whatever I was doing. So I would do research like 8 hours a day, just biblical stuff. There wasn't a big gap. It was basically 9/11 to biblical Genesis of Revelations, then to CERN a little bit, and then it went straight to Flat Earth. And then it's been Flat Earth since end of 2014 till today. So. Oh, you're on mute if you're talking. I can't hear you.
Sorry, the dogs are barking. I muted it. So with the Bible stuff, right, and Flat Earth, is the Bible what brought you to Flat Earth because you started noticing a lot of things in there that were mentioning the Earth being stationary and then flat and all this type of stuff? Or was it, like you had talked about, Eric Dubé or Mark Sargent and these other people, did you come across their videos, or was it a kind of a combination of the two, or what was it for you? How did you get into Flat Earth?
Well, basically, when you go through all the conspiracies, you just kind of want to look at something new, but your conditioning and program is like, you don't want to click it. You're just like, oh, Flat Earth. Like, why would I want to look at this? But after my brain did rewrite itself, and I was like, okay, well, this makes sense. I always Bible everything from clones to transhumanism to DNA manipulation to CERN to whatever. I always go through the Bible first. I'm like, grab my Bible. I'm like, okay, if the Bible says the earth's flat, then I'm gonna roll with it. Sure enough, I mean, the Bible just opens up like a flower telling you that it's the earth is flat, dome, the whole nine stars and the moon and sun are inside the dome. So I just went with it. Then I shortly after two Eric Dubé videos, I went straight to Mark Sargent. Then it was everything from Jaronism, Mark Sargent, Rob Skiba, Globusters, the Morgul, Crow 777. His work on the moon just blew my mind.
Oh, I love his.
Oh, I know, right? There's Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole with David Weiss and Jeffrey Grupp, another one who is pretty much an excellent source in Sundogs in the Firmament. But as soon as the Bible said the earth was flat, I rolled with it. You know, and then it just everything, the pieces started to fall in place.
What's your biggest?
Sorry.
What's that?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, sorry. Go ahead.
I was gonna say for Flat Earth, like, what's your biggest thing that made you say, oh my God? Like, for me, it's airplanes, flying airplanes over a spinning ball and trying to land them. That's like my biggest thing. That's like, that's just absolutely ridiculous that you think the earth's spinning 1,000 miles an hour west to east and you're going to fucking land a plane on a north south runway. Well, like, no pilot.
Right?
I mean, no pilot in the world would even attempt to do that. So, what's your biggest one? Is it water lies level? Is it the horizon always rises? Is it that no motion's ever been detected?
Well, it's a scientific fact. The physical properties of a sphere is downward from any position that you're in. So how does the surface of a ball rise up with you when you leave it? Like, that yeah. was one of the main ones right there. That when I saw the first videos of it flat, not rotating, and it's just flat, and it's eye level. You could watch the camera go, and the eye level, and the horizon stays at eye level. There should be a significant drop. When yeah. you're leaving, it shouldn't rise up and then curve and then go down. It should actually curve down and bend away from you. Is what
immediately
doing.
Is that in all directions too, not just in front of you, in exactly. all directions. So when they're trying to tell you that, oh, and we'll get into the boats over the horizon bullshit. But when they're trying to tell you that, oh, a boat's going over the horizon this way, 3 miles out. Well, how come boats 3 miles this way and 3 miles this way aren't doing the same thing?
Oh my, it's okay, so if given 1 degree to the Earth's size is 70 miles, in lamest terms, you should not be able to see a drop in curve for about 70 miles. Where is the boat going in 3 miles? Where is the transmission tower lines and the bridge going in 20 miles? And what is covering half the city at Chicago skyline at 50 miles? If given 1 degree to the Earth's size is 70 miles. Now, these globe gobblers, when they have like 20 of them will jump on the feed and they all have a different answer, but they all think they're right. They all think they're all communicating with each other and they're like, yeah, that's right too, blah, 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 blah. But they all have different answers. Like when you see, like, for instance, Chicago, the Chicago skyline, how is it that the surface is going up and over first to eye level and then down over? Not only that, you know those transmission lines that they're trying to the globies are trying to say that is proof of the globe.
Which was the Pontchartrain Bridge one?
Yes. Transmission towers. Yeah. So they're going. It goes up and then over, and instead of the towers doing this, the towers are doing like they're straight up all down. Like they don't curve with it, and then the tower at the end is standing straight up.
Yeah,
but and then they say that you're standing on an like here, like so you're standing on an angle looking down. Never in the history of a man have we ever stood in an angle this way or this way and looked down at the horizon. So like,
there's just so many. Man, dude, we could go here on this topic, and for anybody that's listening, we're going to do an after show after where we're going to really dig more into each topic because we're going to go through a bunch. But, I mean, to think that you would believe them when they tell you when a ship goes out to the horizon, and we all believed it. You watch a boat go out at the beach,
exactly, yeah.
The bottom of it disappear first, they tell you because it's going over the curve. And you think about, okay, that makes sense because if it's going over the curve, it's going to dip. The top of it's going to still stick up until, you know, you can't see it anymore because it's going down. The problem is, if you whip out a decent enough camera or binoculars, whatever you got, you can bring the whole thing back. So is your camera a magic camera that bends around the earth? Or could yeah. the whole thing's been, yeah, could it just be the whole thing's been a limit of your eye vision, and then when you magnify it, you bring it right back, and that's exactly what it is. It's called the point of convergence. It's just like if you were in a long hallway – or you looked at railroad tracks or telephone poles, everything on the sides is going to come to the center. The top's going to come down and the floor is going to come up and they're all going to meet at a pinpoint at the last spot that you can see. And that's exactly what the boat is doing. And then you can zoom in and bring it back because it's flat and it's right in front of you. And that's actually the same thing that the sun does. The sun doesn't set. The sun moves away from you. And as crazy as this sounds to some people, what I just said about the boats, you can do the same thing to the sun. The sun can set halfway. You can zoom in, and then the sun's back up in the sky. Never mind the magic camera that looks around the curve of the earth. You think your fucking camera can take the sun and pick it back up in the sky? Oh, and we're the crazy ones? Dude, where'd you get your camera? I got to get one of those. You can move the sun with your camera? That's awesome, dude. I love it.
Well, what people don't understand is, okay, were taught, yes, the boat goes over the curve 3 to 5 miles out on 25,000 miles circumference. Well, if it's going on 3 to 5 miles out, that's a pretty, like, that's like a cylinder. That's pretty small. But what people don't understand is how our eyes actually work. Like, the horizon going up is not really what's happening. It's our perspective ramp. It's our eye visual perspective ramp that's actually doing that. So it kind of lifts everything up and then brings everything to a point. So it's kind of an optical illusion. People need to understand how your eyes work first. Once you understand how your eyes work first, then you can go into your atmospheric refractions and lensing, magnification, superior mirage effect, depth perception, ramp to linear perspective, angular resolution and pyramidal perspective, your eye level horizontal rate of convergence and vanishing point. All of that shit goes into what you're seeing. It's not just, oh, I'm seeing a bokeh over the curve. No. You're seeing what your eyes are doing, and then you're seeing what reality is doing at the same time. So once you understand how your eyes work, then you'll understand what you are actually seeing. So when you see, like you're saying with the train tracks and everything going into or down a hallway, that hallway's not doing that. That's what we are
seeing. Yeah, the hallway's not curving. You're not seeing the curvature of the hallway.
Yeah, and it's not going in, and the floor's not raising up, and the roof is not, the ceiling's not going to a point where the door, you can squish it between your fingers. Your eyes are seeing that. That's not actually happening outside your peripheral, out of your visual sensory. That's actually what you're seeing first. So it's just, I don't know. People just look, research what your eyes do. Research what your eyes do. As soon as you do that, then everything, all the pieces start falling into place. Then you'll understand what you're looking at. And these globies just don't get it. They're like, ah, I'm like, well, it's scientific fact. I mean, you can Google it right now. I mean, look at how your eyes work. I mean, you're saying no, like, we're taught no. Like, I mean,
the problem is, you know, I don't care if somebody doesn't believe me, but when you don't even look, and then you tell me how wrong I am, and it's like, dude. And it's like, I mean, you've seen some of my shows, and I've seen your posts, and you just as well as I and others. I mean, we break it down really simple for these people. When I first got in Flat Earth, it was 20.
For sure.
There was no documentaries. There was no Eric Dubay documentaries. There was no Mark Sargent even doing Flat Earth. There was no Jaronism. I watched all these guys come. Exception to Eric. He already had books and stuff out, but he didn't have 200 proofs out yet, so it's not like I was just handed this on a platter. I had to put it together, and not that I'm expecting you to believe any documentary on its face value, because look what happened with Loose Change, but at least look at the stuff that these guys are putting out and try and dispute it, or at least get your mind working, because you're going to realize, wow, these guys have some really good points. And then when you start to look into proofs of what we've been told, not only looking into proofs of, like, say you want to look into scientific experiments, and we know between me and you and a lot of other people that any scientific experiment to prove the rotundity or the rotation of the Earth or the movement of the Earth, any of that, it's complete bunk. But let's just go with our common sense. This is what they don't want you to use. When you take our common sense, if you were never brainwashed since you were a baby from school, media, music, video games, everything that has a globe in it, right? If that never happened to you, what in your daily lives would ever tell you that you lived on a curved ball? Nothing.
Exactly.
You would never come to that conclusion.
Well, the only closest you could come to that conclusion is seeing a boat go, well, disappear. I don't want to say go over the curve, but just disappear. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just, there's so much conditioning and programming. Like, when you're born, when you're a kid, your mind is so fresh, you don't know anything. You're just you can be taught anything. I mean, we could have been taught the freaking moon was made of cheese, like that meme says, you know, and we could have been conditioned and programmed that from the beginning, and then we'd be fighting, and it's like, no, it's not cheese, it's actually Swiss cheese kind of thing, you know what I mean? But I totally hear you, man.
Yeah, and you just got to use some common sense. It's like, okay, they tell you the moon's 200, and we'll get into the moon and how they lie about the sun and the eclipses later on, but just one more point on the moon is they tell you it's 237,000 miles away, right? Now, let's just say you believe that. Now, you know how there's, like, craters on the moon, whether they're craters or whatever the fuck they are, the craters on the moon, there's features on the moon. I mean, there's some that are only said to be, like, 7 miles wide or whatever, and you can see these. You think you can see 237,000 miles and see something 7 miles wide and see detail? I mean, you've got to be a special kind of stupid.
Yeah. I mean, like, Like that's another thing too. Like zooming in on some of these stars, or like within your Nikon up to like Saturn and stuff, if they're that far away, how are we, like how are we seeing them with our eyes pretty much? Like if some of these stars, if they're that far away, how are we
Yeah.
physically seeing them first with our eyes, then bringing up binoculars or your P90 or something like that? I don't remember what the sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and with the telescopes, this totally debunks on how powerful telescopes are because the P900, right? So let's say you take a telescope and you point it at stars that are, the closest one they say is like 25 trillion miles away. They just use these big numbers to
Right.
intimidate people so they don't try and figure it out. But let's just say it's 25 trillion miles away. You first of all, you should never be able to zoom up on it at all because it's 25 trillion miles away. You would think with the zoom on the telescope, you wouldn't even get closer, but it gets closer. It
Right.
gets a shot. Now, if you zoom in on the moon with a telescope and take a picture of it, right? And you zoom in with a P900, you're getting a similar image. Maybe not exactly the same, but it's similar. The P900 only has an 83 times zoom. So if the telescope
Right.
has a similar zoom to only an 83 times zoom, which would be, a few hundred or a few thousand miles, whatever it works out to, based on your vision times the 83, it'd be several hundred, right? Well, doesn't that debunk that your telescope is zooming in things 25 trillion miles away? If it's not zooming in on the moon, like to a grain of sand, whereas your camera can already zoom in up close.
Exactly. Right. Just quickly here, you had your last one of your episodes. I think it was when your caller came in. He was talking about an experiment he said he saw on YouTube about the guy took a flashlight and came up with the same water effect that we see with the Picon with the P90s,
Yeah,
the
I
Nikon
just,
goggle.
yeah. Go ahead.
Do you know that link to that? Because I would like to see that.
No, and he hasn't provided that to me yet, so I would like to see it. He said he
Oh,
was going
okay.
to tell himself, but I don't think that those are stars out of focus. That's my opinion, because why would they be
Yeah,
changing colors?
I
Some
don't
of them
think so
change
either.
colors like.
Oh, and just the water effect to him. The first time I saw that dude, I almost cried, dude. Like the Bible says that there's waters above us, right? And it separated the waters. But seeing some of those stars and just the water on it and the way it flickers and the way it pulses on itself. And not only that, some will like pulse like this and then others will vibrate. And they all are doing different things, some of them. But to me, I mean, I don't have the equipment. I don't skywatch much. But from what I've seen in YouTube videos and cross-referencing information and people sending me their stuff in private chat, just like, man, check this out. Like, it's unreal. And I mean, atmospheric distortions and stuff like that, I don't think work like that, personally.
No, I don't think so either. And I want to get into another topic. So, I know a lot of the topics that you're big into, and it seems you're big into a lot of the same ones as me. How did you go from flat Earth to the Mandela effect?
Oh, the Mandela effect. I don't. I think the big one. I don't know how I came across it, but I don't really remember how I came across it. But what got me was, like I said, I'm a biblical guy. The lion and the wolf. I remember holding my Bible on my chest and being like, "What's going on?" Like you were saying in your recent video. People are saying that the word of God can't be changed. Well, that's totally wrong now because Satan's doing it right now. CERN is doing it. They're changing it. So that was a big one for me. And then the second one was JFK. It's four seats, not six. It's four. I remember watching documentaries as a kid on that. Now the big one, before I get to the big one, the one that you told me, Star Trek, Final Frontier. I mean, I almost lost it on that one when you showed me that. That blew me away. Now, like I said, I'm a Star Trek fan to the fullest. I have all six seasons. I have all 15 episodes. I have all 13 movies plus the cartoon. I got books that I showed you in that one video. And there's 70 episodes of Picard with this crystal.
Oh my God.
What the fuck are we talking about here, man? I'm a Star Trek fan. I watch these things religiously. Like I used to watch them Like I used me and my friends would be so geeky that we would just come up with the craziest questions, like what color was Dr. Bashir's shoes he was wearing when he played this, and what did he say? Like just the most intricate questions you could ever come up with. I would have came up with some of how many times does Captain Picard pick up his crystal? I can't find it in any books. I can't find it online. I can't find it where he found it in the show. I can't find any information on it. All I know is, all you can find is Picard's crystal. That's all it says. So the Wolf and the Lion, Picard's crystal, and that which is the biggest one lately for me. But Wolf and the Lion and the JFK one just blew my mind. I
I
mean,
remember when I
with
showed you
the
the Picard crystal one, you thought that that was fun. You were like, no way, dude. I got all of
yeah,
these. And
like,
I'm like, bro, it's 70s.
well, I started going through them. Like, it blows my mind to actually grab a physical disc that I have to blow dust off of because I just download now, and then and I put it in, and it's just he's holding a crystal, like, or at the first one that actually I got out of the second one. Sorry, after the Lion and the Lamb was Star Wars, Luke, I am your father, or whatever, like that. That one screwed me up. And I remember watching a video, a guy grabbed his tape. He's like, he's watching the Mandela Effect. He's like, there's no way. He's like, I'm physically, he has his camera. He's like, okay, I'm going to grab an old school VHS tape, goes to his closet, grabs it, puts it in his VCR, and he's goes to the point and he watches it and he freaks out. And he turns the camera on him. He's like, I'm a Star Wars fan. This has never been said in my life. I can never not remember this at all in my life that he said that. That kind of got me, but the JFK one, when the first time I saw a six-seater car driving it, I didn't even know what I was looking at. I didn't know, I actually didn't even know how to react at first. I was just, I guess it's a fake video. I'm trying to see discrepancies in it. I'm trying to see if there's CGI, if it's glitchy. Because I remember newspaper shots and museum shots of the car, four-seater.
Oh yeah, we still got a lot of that residue. I post a lot of that, and I'm sure you got some of that residue too. And here's the other thing too. Not only do we know that it was a four-seater versus a six-seater, let's just think about this for a minute. You're talking about the president of the United States getting assassinated. So at the time, maybe the biggest event ever. Well, you know, you could put all these events together. 9/11, you know, the Holocaust, JFK. I mean, these are events. You don't need to rank them or whatever. But it's, you know, absolutely monumental event. And it's the president. To think not only do we going to get his car wrong, but to think he's going to be in a car that's so odd it has two windshields when you've never seen a two windshield car before, probably. And that's the car he got assassinated in. And like, how are we not going to remember that and mistake it for a four seater? It doesn't add up, man.
Right.
It's crazy. And then when you even some of the residue we talked about, the Secret Service did a reenactment in 1963 or whenever it was through the streets of Dallas to measure for ballistics and all of this shit, right? And they're using a four-seater car. I mean, this isn't just a demonstration. This is to test for ballistics and figure out a crime scene. And they're going to use the wrong size car. And dude, you know what the skeptics told me? They told me, well, Lincoln just wouldn't make the government another car. I'm like, are you kidding me, dude? Like, Lincoln would
Oh my gosh. What were you
First of all,
saying in one of you were saying something in one of your shows. It was a quick. You were giving a quick nod to it. Something about the people in the background were too big for the car. Like the perspective was all wrong. What were you talking about there?
Yeah. Okay. So this and this is before Mandela. This has nothing to do with Mandela effect. This is just me researching media hoaxes, 9/11 type stuff. Oh, I'll get into more Mandela effects with JFK because a whole bunch changed, a whole bunch of stuff. But even before that, if you watch the Zapruder film, okay. There's a lot of issues. So first, people talk about the missing frame rates. There's frames that are missing from the video, but if you go back and you really study it, it doesn't look so much like there's missing frame rates, but it looks like the missing frames are a cover for the video being cut together because you can see the limo coming like out of nowhere, just appears out of nowhere on the street, and the crowd, the way the crowd is, it just they don't react. Like it looks totally ridiculous. But on top of that, like. Nothing so skeptical. What you were actually addressing is when he pulls by the grassy knoll, this is the president. First of all, the grassy knoll looks very odd because if it is open where people can stand on it, which it was, why is it so uncrowded? There's like 10, 15 people on it when they could fit hundreds of people, right? On top of that, as the car's rolling by, the people aren't even facing the president. They're like, looking this way, looking this. It's like, why aren't you looking at the president? And then when you look at it more, the perspective, the people would be like 10 feet tall from where they are. They're a few feet up behind the car on the curb and on the grass, and they're like huge. They're like way too big for the car. And my reasoning is, I, for all of those instances, I think it's two videos spliced together. One day they had the people out there. One day they did a motorcade. And people got to remember, people say, well, how could they go out there in the street and film this fake event and then run the real one? Well, you got to remember, if it's a presidential motorcade, you can totally close down that area without any suspicion. You can do it days ahead of time without any suspicion, and you can run mock drills of cars going through there without any suspicion, because you can just say you're making sure for security reasons. But in reality, I think they were filming, and I think they filmed people on another day, and I think they spliced it together.
They edited two scenes together,
and it doesn't.
Not live footage that we're watching or that was witnessed back then on TV. That was not live footage.
Yeah, hell no, absolutely not live footage. Absolutely, my opinion. And then to the Mandela aspect of it. I mean, the whole scene has changed. It used to be, if you remember, it used to look like the driver reached back, and there were a lot of conspiracy theories about this. The driver reached back like this. You couldn't see a gun, but he made a motion like this before the shot happened. So people. Oswald. And this is like 9/11 with all the different theories. They don't care which one you believe as long as the president got murdered and you don't step out of line because they're leaving the president. That's what the motive is. So they don't care if you think it's Oswald, a second shooter in the grass, you know, a combination of both. There were rumors that it was Jackie. Now when you look at the footage, the driver doesn't do this. And even if he did, he'd be blocked by an extra windshield, right?
Because
he doesn't do this, and now it literally looks like Jackie puts a gun up to the left side of his head and blows his brains out. Right. That wasn't there before.
I've seen that. No, that wasn't. That when I saw that video, that blew my mind, because it kind of looks like she goes right to his chin or somewhere, like, you know, and just blows him away. And there was another one too. There's another video that they show, and the guy zooms up on him. And it looks like a total,
like a synthetic, like a mannequin
droid. Like it looks,
fake. Looks like a mannequin,
yeah, like a mannequin or something. Exactly.
Yeah.
It doesn't look real at all. But isn't he moving throughout the thing? Like, isn't he waving and turning his head? Or do you think that was just maybe an animatronic kind of thing?
I just think it was a scripted out acted scene where, he was moving his head and they were filming through a secure scene. And then they just shot him like they would shoot somebody in a movie. Not a real gunshot, edit it together, make it look real. And you got to think, well, why would they fake it? Well, the same reason they would fake killing a bunch of people in a school or whatever. It's the same agenda. As long as you believe the incident really happened. It just serves just as well of a purpose as to actually do it. And then, again, the same reason with all these motives. Well, why? Oh, they'll say it's so hard to fake something. No, it's harder to actually kill people and get away with it, because you're gonna have a lot of covering up to do. You're going to have real families coming after you. And not just that, maybe you'll have real investigations. Maybe you won't. We know the investigation that went into that was total bullshit or whatever. But you got to remember, whether it's pulling off a 9/11, pulling off a school shooting, or pulling off a JFK or whatever. Not everybody in government is bad. As much as we hate government, most people on this earth are good people. I'm not talking about the elite, the Illuminati, the Vatican, whatever you want to say is up there. I'm talking about the Jesuits. I'm not talking to the Zionists. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you're going to do an operation on the ground like 9/11, Sandy Hook, whatever it is, you're going to have regular field agents out there doing whatever it is, whether it's sealing off areas, planting explosives, or taking shots with a gun. Now, you come to me, if I'm a field agent, and you say, hey, you know, we're gonna kill X amount of kids in this school, but we're going to buy you this house, your family's going to be good, blah, 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 blah. What do you think the chances are of these agents go along with that? I'd say less than 5% of them go along with it. But now you reapproach these people – are indoctrinated people in the government, and you say, this is for the good of the country. Nobody is going to get hurt. Nobody is going to die. We're going to fake it, and you're going to be compensated for it. How much less guilt is riding on those people, and how much less of a chance is it that there's going to be a whistleblower? It's night and day. So it's way easier to fake it.
Right.
makes way more sense. Way more sense. For me with Mandela, I mean, at first it was Berenstain, and then it was JFK, and then I don't know if you saw my top 10 Mandela ones, but you see the posts I make, and you post tons of Mandela. And I mean, I got a lot of them. I mean, Ed McMahon, C-3PO not being fucking all gold. I mean, that's just so huge. And this is where I think the Mandela effect affects everybody. Because you say some people aren't Mandela affected or not. I think everybody's affected by what's going on. I just don't think people's are attuned to it. I don't think, you know, their frequency or whatever you want to call it is at that level. Because when you go out and ask people about something like C-3PO, if you don't preface it as a Mandela thing, everybody knows C-3PO was all gold.
Right.
Everybody. So the fact that he's not anymore, and he never has been in this reality, that means all these people are affected, whether they know it and admit it or not.
Well, I discussed that with you. We talked months ago, and you were talking about, and I think I remember as a kid C-3PO having a gold or a silver leg.
Really?
I do have that in my, yeah, I do. To me, though, it was, what was it, episode 4? Remember he gets chopped up and whatever?
But that's episode 5. Episode 5. Well, here's the problem with that, though. So that's episode 5, but they don't replace him with the silver leg. But even if they did in your timeline or your memory, he has the silver leg right now. Yeah, he has the silver leg now from the very start of episode 4, the first one.
Oh shit! So right now it's silver right now because I'm sorry. I'm still thinking about a bunch of pictures and stuff that you've been posting because you've been posting like pictures from the 70s with the guy dressed up in C-3PO and he's all gold. And then
he's all gold. That's just not a guy. That's the guy actually dressed up that's playing him in the movie. That's Anthony Daniels.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is. What I'm saying is, even if he was blown to part in Empire Strikes Back, which he was, and Chewbacca had to carry him around on his back, and then they put him back together, if that's what you're talking about and you think he got a silver leg then, but that doesn't even add up to why he has a silver leg in the whole movie before that.
I'm kind of remembering the silver leg when we were talking about it, so I'm probably just trying to put it. My cognitive dissonance is trying to put it in the storyline. So that's what I thought. It's like, oh, he got chopped up. Chewie takes him, puts him back together.
Replaced his one leg. Even if that was the case, whether they put a silver leg on him then or not, that was a whole movie later. Right in the opening scene of episode 4, he has that. So what do you think? And I know because you mentioned it. You know, and I disagree. I don't think it's CERN. You do, and that's all good, man. We all have disagreements on things, and we're all here to talk about it. You think it's CERN, and why don't you elaborate on why?
CERN for the Mandela?
Yeah.
I don't think it's alternate realities and alternate universes, multiple universes that there is, because that coincides with the heliocentric model. But what I think is happening is the elites of this world are slowly transforming our reality into the reality that the Bible says is in that occupies our reality at the same time that we just can't see it. So basically, it's not so much that they're changing reality; they're just changing. Well, I guess it is changing reality. I don't think that there was like three or four different universes that we're living in, let's say, and one C-3PO is green, the other one's gold, and the other one, he's got a silver leg. I just think that what they're doing, and because CERN wants to, they're searching for the God particle, and they're also opening up portals, which coincides with the Bible saying that man is basically going to use a ground and machine, which CERN is in ground, right? And they're using machines to open portals to hell. So I think basically since like the demons in my research, they're coming in and the ships, like the Greys aliens and stuff like that, they're the demons actually, but they can't stay in this reality too long. So that's why their ships are always disappearing.
You think they're like, interdimensional beings? Because I know a lot of people I respect a lot.
And they're changing this reality to coincide for Satan and his army to come out. I was gonna ask you quickly. Do you think people who try not to drink the fluoride and try and keep their body clean and stuff like that. Do you think people with their third eye that's more clean and not as damaged and calcified as others are actually able to see the Mandela effect and residue? Like for you, like you seem to have your third eye open a lot to see all this Mandela residue. Like you're popping up stuff every couple of days that you're finding, and like, so do you kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know how
Oh, I know exactly what you're
the plan, right?
No, I know what you're saying. Like I said, I think it affects everybody, but I think those of us that are generally more aware are basically part of and I think everybody's part of this collective consciousness that's awakening, but I think some of us are more attuned into it. And I just think it seems to me that the people that are generally the most aware, when it comes to these other topics too, it's all tied together. So the people that know about no planes, the people that know about flat Earth, these same types of crowds of people are the same type of people that, for the most part, that seem to be highly Mandela affected. And I'm not going to say across the board. I know there's people watching right now with all three different topics. You know, they don't agree with me that all three topics are real. Okay, and that's fine. That's fine. And you might not believe in flat Earth or no planes, but you are highly Mandela affected, and I'm not disputing that you are. And I know that happens, but I do think people that are generally more attuned to that are definitely more highly affected. And you know. I don't like to talk about myself much, but you know, I've been a deep researcher in this stuff, you know, for like 8 years, all these types of topics, and I've been knee deep in it. And I think that's a big part of the reason why I see a lot of the Mandela effects. I really do. And I think that there's a lot, I don't even say I think, I know that there's a lot that they're hiding about the other side of reality, the non-physical world. Anything that has to do with the non-physical world and or a spiritual connection to, whether it be to ourselves or to God or creator, whatever you want to call it, that's what they are afraid of the most, and that's what they have to hide. And that's why no matter what it is, they'll always have to come up with a scientific equation for it or explanation, and it's always complete bullshit. And the main goal of science, and I don't mean people that are doing real science, like there's a thing called science that's good, but the high priests of scientism and mainstream science and people like Rogan, Brian Cox, Neil deGrasse, Elon Musk, Stephen Hawking's, I mean, we could go on and on. All these people, you know, it's hard for a lot of people when they get into it. So what's the goal of flat Earth? And I know I'm going back to flat Earth from Mandela, but well, why are they doing this? And I try not to start off with the hiding the creative stuff right away, because you're trying to get them into the topic. And if they're not into religion or God at all, that's just going to shut them right out. So I start with the money. Like NASA's scamming $53 million a day, $20 billion a year off to give you this. And I show them some
For
bullshit.
cartoons.
I show them something from the ISS with things materializing in space, wire harnesses, fucking whatever it is, fake pictures of Earth from space.
Oh, the first time I saw one of those videos, man, I just, that's another one. My jaw dropped. I didn't even know what to say. Like, things disappearing. The guy's trying to grab something, but he's missing it. Like that one guy doing the flip, and that guy grabs the harness and brings him back in. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, some of these Globies, their answers to, they're trying to answer in their own head why this is logical, and this some of the stuff they come up with is just so ludicrous. It's like I can't even think right now. There was one guy who was trying to hold a pole. There's a new video out. I should have saved it. There's a brand new video out. It's like 9, 10 minutes long of like all new glitches and effect screw ups in the ISS. And this guy, his foot goes through a pole. He's trying to hold a pole, but the pole's like going through his hand. It's just, and these harnesses, green screen, like the guy's floating in the back, and all of a sudden he just disappears.
Oh yeah, as his head gets towards the doorway on the right, it starts to like, it's
Yeah,
there.
right?
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. How can you look at that? Maybe, you know, I'm biased because I come from a background of presenting 9/11 CGI to people for a long, long time. So obviously I'm going to be able to see these things, but I would think if you presented to me some guy's disappearing or the woman that's grabbing for the teddy bear that isn't there, but then it materializes in thin air and grabs it. If you would have showed me that a long time ago, I would have been like, whoa, I need to see more of this. It's crazy to me that people don't look more into that. But you know what? Let's move it forward a little, and we're gonna come back to these topics. Don't worry. What are you currently looking into besides the topics we talked about?
Genesis 6 conspiracy.
What is Genesis?
Basically,
What is that?
so people think that God just went crazy and flooded the earth to kill all of us. Well, there was none of his creation left. And what I mean by that is Satan and his angels had perverted everyone, perverted everything from animals to humans to crossing animal and human DNA, having sex with animals, just doing the most absurd things that they're doing now behind closed doors, like, making clones, making whatever you can think of. The Genesis 6 conspiracy is basically talking about how the fallen angels manipulated God's creation, and that's why he flooded the earth. The Archon Invasion is what another one from Rob Skiba also talks about how they had probably saved themselves somewhere after the flood, so they came about again. But the Genesis 6 conspiracy is basically about Satan and his angels just fucking with God's creation, screwing us up. Like, we are what we are now is what was created. We're like de-evolving from what we were, basically, is what I'm trying to
With
say.
the Bible, is there a certain Bible you follow? Like, I know most flat earthers talk about the King James. Is that what you follow? And if so, why? Why is that better than the other ones?
To what I've learned, King James, I have it all written down somewhere. To what I remember, the guy who wrote the King James Bible took the original transcripts of the Bible and then put it into King James, and then took the Vatican and other religious Bibles that they took from the original text and screwed it. So he had the
So the
original
other ones
text,
are more
which,
manipulated.
pardon me?
The other ones are manipulated right from the jump.
Yeah, they're basically all manipulated, but what he was trying to do was show he wanted to translate the Bible from these manuscripts that he found and leave it at that, and then show what the Vatican and everyone else was doing. The King James
Who's
Version
he?
is
King
pretty
James
messed up,
himself?
man.
Is King James?
I'm thinking so. I can't remember that this was like one of the first things I started researching. But King James is the one version that is translated and closely resembles what ancient transcripts have said.
No, why do you think that is also the same version that seems to be the first one to get Mandela affected and the most? Because it has more truth in it?
Has more truth in it, and like I said, Satan is changing the reality to suit him and his followers. Imagine, see. I love the Bible. I grew up on it. I've read it pretty. I couldn't just pull out a verse for you right now. I just can't do that. But I mean, I've read it. I know it. It's been in my, like, I grew up in a Christian home, went to a Christian school, went to church all my life. I know the Bible. But I imagine now, 20 years from now, like you're trying to back up the Bible, but it's all geared towards like the alien invasion and Satan coming, like. It's hard to explain. Like, he's changing reality and the Bible so that if you try to defend the Bible, it's going to defend what the Satan is and what he's all about. So when you're reading it, like there's so much stuff changed in it, like from the word matrix is in it now. You showed me that one with, oh my gosh, the one he's hung from a tree.
Oh, we talked
You
about
know that
that.
one you just showed me?
Yeah,
Oh
yeah.
my gosh, that's another one. I had to sit down after that. After you showed me it, I sat down, I went and grabbed my Bible, and I texted you after that. I'm like, I just checked it. You just blew my freaking mind.
For anybody listening, it's Acts 5:30, and
Yeah,
I
if
actually
you
the
haven't
last
seen
show
it,
I brought it up. No, bring it up, bring it up. Yeah, I showed a lot of people last show because there's like Bible Hub is where I got it because Bible Hub will show you how a line, if you quote a phrase, it'll show you how it's written. In every version of the Bible, there's like 50 versions that are on that site, and I'm not going to say 100% of them, but about 75% of them all say Jesus was hung from a tree and not a cross.
Oh, I know, and yeah. So hang on, yours is Acts what? 5:30. Yeah, 'cause I got my Bible right here. 5:30. Oh, I even saved it. Yeah, it's totally changed. And so the Bible I have has a King James version and the International version. The International version just for you, easier for you to read. But the God of our fathers raised up by Jesus, whom he slew and hung by a tree. That has never said that. As much, I probably never ever read that verse, but I know for a fact. I mean, the whole gospel of Jesus I don't even want to say Jesus because that's not even his name. He was holding the cross. He was walking the cross. And, I mean, I got a cross on my freaking thing right here, on my neck, right? Like, but
it's not a tree. That, imagine everybody woke up tomorrow and they had trees hanging from their necks.
Oh my gosh! Imagine the residue on that. Oh,
you know what? Man, said before the edit, I said, watch what people are gonna say. The skeptics are gonna say, oh, it's metaphorical because the cross is made out of wood and wood comes from a tree. And somebody actually ended up saying this to me the other day. They're like, that's why it's that. I'm like, dude, are you fucking all right, man?
No, there's no way, man. There's no way. It was the biblical narrative of this Jesus, I guess, was hung by a cross or hung on a cross. He was crucified. I mean, that was a medieval way of killing people, making them suffer, was to crucify. It wasn't just Jesus being crucified. Throughout the whole valley, people were crucified. You'd be walking on the road to, who knows, to go to Rome or wherever you were going, and there'd be crosses on the road or on a hill. People are dead. I mean, that was the way to kill people. It wasn't being hung by a tree, like, or hung on a tree. Like, I mean, oh man, when you showed me that, I didn't even know what to say. I didn't even know what to do. It's getting hard for me to defend the Bible because it keeps changing on me now, and I just. I love the Bible. I think it's true, but someone is messing with the Word of God, and I think they're doing it, and Satan's doing it to coincide with his one world religion and just altering reality. So, I mean, 20, 30, 40 years from now, what this reality that we have is going to be completely changed. Like, if we're saying there's new animals being brought about, like, I've seen some pictures of new animals. I've never seen them before. I mean...
There's so many
species of animals being caught every day and being shown, but it's getting hard for me to defend the Bible. And when I've seen changes in the Bible, moreover than Star Trek or anything else, is something that I read, something I grew up on, something that I know. I mean, there's no question. There's something is happening in this reality. There's something going on. Somebody is messing with those words, man. And I would love. I would love to watch a word disappear or just morph into a different word. Like, I would love to see that.
Well, how about what you've seen with words like, not only is the word matrix in there now and it wasn't before, dude, people didn't even utter the term matrix till like 30 years ago. Like, that wasn't even a word. Like, when I was a little kid, like, I mean, maybe it was, but it was never used.
Yeah, well, the Matrix didn't get big. That the word and the use of it wasn't until the documentary Matrix came out.
Yeah.
As soon as the Matrix came out, now it's like everything was Matrix. I mean, DJs were coming, saying they're making their names Matrix, DJ Matrix, or you know, just. But yeah, no, I totally hear you. But this Bible changing thing, it's just. I don't know. It sucks because, like, I used the Bible laws to defend myself and a lot of things, but now it's just like, I mean, I don't know. Like, there was one Mandela change where a guy and a guy will be laying in the same bed. Well, the Bible is against gays, so why is there a guy and a guy laying in the bed? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Or I forget what else there is. Like, bottles are changed to like wineskins to bottles now, or
wineskins to bottles. The word whore is in there a bunch now.
Yeah. But I want to know, maybe we don't know if it was the first change, but if it was the first change, I think if changing, because the lion was to represent God, and the wolf, sheep in wolf's clothing was meant to represent Satan. So now Satan has changed the word to saying wolf and the sheep should lay, and the Bible perceives Satan as the wolf. So now, when later, now it's kind of hard to explain. So now in the future, Satan's coming down as the wolf, and it's like, oh, well, there's the wolf. He's our savior. He's the man in light, the one who's going to save us. So he's just changing the Bible to coincide with his one real religion when the fake alien. Oh, speaking of which, you were talking on your one of your show is about the observatories.
Observatory. Yeah.
What if they're preparing for the alien invasion? Because are they shutting down the mainstream ones, or are they just shutting down all, like, pretty much all of them?
Like, no, the thing, like, no, it was like five or six of them worldwide. So, and I agree with what you're saying. And as a matter of fact, and you know what, we're going to save a lot of the Blue Beam talk for the after show. But with the Blue Beam, I personally think, and I had this conversation again with somebody last night, I've been saying it for a while, I think they have two final cards that they're going to play. Okay. One of them is going to be Project Blue Beam. And if that doesn't work, or they need to go more intense, I think they're going to fake a second coming of Christ with the same technology. Yeah. That'll usher in the bringing everybody under the one world religion, especially if they do the alien thing first, put everybody in that panic, and then here comes Jesus, a hologram of Jesus, and you know, yeah, to save everybody, and then everybody falls in line underneath that religion, or whatever, you know, whatever they deem that religion that Jesus is representing at the time, you know? And it's just, I think that's the final card. That's why 100%. I think with Flat Earth. And I think that's why with Flat Earth, we have to get to that tipping point soon and actually force their hand to play that card. Because if we don't force their hand to play that card, right, let's say it takes another decade, what do you think the Blue Beam technology is going to be like in a decade? I mean, it's going to be so hot, people can't believe it, you know? So I'd rather have them get it out now and get it out of the way. But at the same time,
that different. Like the Blue Beam technology and CERN and all that, that was – there's nothing new under the sun. So that technology has always been there. It's funny, too, because in the Bible, they were – I forget who it was, like the some of the Titans and Satan's, let's say, crew or whatever – were locked up, like his angels. So at the beginning of time, when the angels fell down, they taught us everything about like jewelry to technology to weapons to fighting to whatever. And then the flood happened, and then when you go through the Bible and history, the Bible history and other history, there is no like technological advancement really until the Bible says when these guys get released, then all of a sudden our technological advancements in the past 250 years has just went through the roof. You know, so I think that Project Bluebeam, holograms, laptops, computers, tablets, phones, watches, the whole nine.
Yeah.
That was all back in the day. It got washed away and destroyed, and now they were lying dormant until they're going to play their card.
You're on the money, bro. I talk about this all the time. I think all these technologies were around before, and I think that what happens is eventually society starts like we're doing now, using their own technology against them to a point. With our communications here, having these conversations, sharing information instantly with people, our P900s, all the different things we got going on. And I think rather than like a mass extinction event, they never needed to do that. They could just wipe out technology. And within 30 years, after lying to everybody in textbooks and after people start dying off and stuff, you could basically just put people back in the quote-unquote Stone Ages and have it start over. And then that totally puts me way back here. And I think it's been... I think it's been done many times, and I take it one step further. I think that even the moon itself might be part of Blue Beam already in action. The moon. I think the moon is a hologram or a projection. It's not solid. And I also think that the moon, the reason it's there, I think the great light of the night might actually be Polaris. And there would be a hell of a motive to distract us away from Polaris because it proves the flat Earth as it's the stationary star over the North Pole. So maybe they just want to get us to focus on the moon. We know the fake trip to the moon was to take the picture of the Earth and say it's round. But the whole focus on the moon and all this science fiction about the moon, everybody thinks about the moon. You ever seen a movie about Polaris? I mean, no, nobody talks about it. Until you start researching these things, nobody talks about the North Star, dude. So I think it might be a distraction. This is just an opinion. You're going to ask me to prove it? I can't prove it. That's my opinion, though. And I don't mind putting things out as speculation when stated as such. That's good. That's how we put ideas together, and, you know, we go from there.
Yeah, there's a couple – I wish I came a little bit more prepared with some of these truthers that I know. But one guy, he like at least once a week on a Facebook, he's like, watch the moon. Just watch the moon. Like, watch it. Watch the sun. Watch the moon. Watch the sun. Watch the moon. So I've been doing that. Now, the moon's weird because in like for two or three days, it'll be in the same spot. And then like on the fourth day, it's like way down here.
And oh, my God, dude. Oh, my God. I just said.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just said this two nights ago, and I said it like a month ago. I just asked people on my Facebook wall two nights ago to look at the moon, and I said to me, the moon looks like it's a lot lower in the horizon than it should be, which would also mean, because we know if it's not really big, and we don't really know what's going on, it could be going lower, but it could just be going faster away from us, and due to our vanishing point, that it looks lower in the horizon. But I noticed this because I'm not out there taking the P900 shots and documenting it with timestamps like a lot of people. I don't even got a camera. I just go out on my porch and smoke on a clear night. I stare at the moon for hours. And I'm telling you, like the other night, I was looking at the moon off the side of my porch, and you could see it over the trees that are a couple houses away. Dude, within the time I finished my blunt, and I only had half a blunt, I mean, we're talking like 5 minutes, the moon was completely blocked by the tree. Like it had dropped so much in the horizon.
Right.
In 5 minutes, it's not doing the same path that it did.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like almost like it wants to change speed. Like I've seen, like sometimes at one night I'll look at it and then I'll come back 5 hours later and it's like maybe moved an inch or two from my perspective. But then a couple of days later it'll like harsh move, and then all of a sudden 4 days after that it's down here. One time I was steering, and it was almost like a pendulum style as it turns and sways. I don't really know how that would work as the sun circulates, but the way he was documenting, he had like all the time indexes, all the times he was looking at it. He was like calculating everything he could. I have the meme somewhere. I'll try and find it. I'll send it to you.
Well, you know
But
what we
he
do
was
is,
thinking that it could. Pardon, go ahead.
no, I was going to say, you know what we'll do is when we take our break, see if you can dig up some of them, and we'll come back with the after
Oh,
show.
yes, for sure.
Not to interrupt you, but for anybody that's listening, what we're going to do is what we did with the last four, and we have such a good flow, I don't want to break it, but at the same time, I don't want to make these awakening interviews 3 hours because then people won't click them. We're already at an hour and a half. I got a few more questions I'm going to ask
At an
Courtney.
hour already?
Dude, we already did an hour and a half.
Oh my gosh. I'm having so much fun. I didn't even
No,
know.
it's cool. We still got more we're going to do. So what we're going to do, I'm going to ask you a few more questions, and then I'm going to tell everybody, you know, everybody that's listening now and anybody that's watching this after, if you're watching this after, not live, in the show description, you'll see for the after show. Okay, I haven't put it there yet, but it will be there. For anybody in the chat, all you got to do is refresh my channel 5 or 10 minutes after we get off the air. The new event will be there. And just jump in the lobby. We're gonna take like a 15-minute break, and when we come back, we're gonna elaborate more. And there are some topics that you mentioned earlier, and we're gonna hold those till after. But you mentioned cloning and DNA swaps, and I don't know crap about them. And I know that's something you might want to elaborate on after, yeah?
Pardon me, sorry. What were you saying? You were cutting out.
You said cloning and DNA swaps was
Oh
something you were.
yes, in the Bible, biblical. Yes, that's. I'll, yes,
Yeah.
I'm
So.
down for that for sure.
We'll dig into that in the after show a lot because that's some stuff that you're personally interested to, and we'll touch on a lot more Flat Earth and Mandela. But let me ask you a few more questions, and then we'll take that break to the after show, okay? And everybody that's watching on Facebook, I know you guys on Facebook right now. Just so you know, you're watching a screen grab of the YouTube, so the YouTube doesn't have the choppy frame rate you're seeing right now. It has better video quality. So if you want, join us on YouTube. If you look in the show description, it's the first URL. It says this airs on our backup channel. Click it. That's where we're at now. So when this ends, we're going to end the Facebook Live video, but we're going to relaunch them both about 15 minutes after we end. So just be aware of that. So we're going to keep it. It's like two separate shows. And there'll be a lot more back and forth too. And you said you had some questions for me after too, right? Didn't you?
Yes, I do actually. About
Okay.
where you're living and some of the stuff you've been going through, and yes, I do.
Awesome, awesome. So we'll do all that. This will be a great after show. So let me get our last few questions out. How has awakening people in your personal life gone? Family, close friends, etc., not online people. I get the same answer almost every time, but let's hear it.
Same thing, man. I lost some of my best friends. They don't talk to me anymore. My dad, when him and me do this farmer's market, we baked a lot of cinnamon buns. I would bring up Rob Skiba, Zen Garcia, and all that kind of stuff, Flat Earth. He was kind of more in tune to it because I would bring the biblical aspect of it because he's a very religious biblical man. My sister, she's whatever about it. My girlfriend was really, I mean, she didn't really give off any indication that like I was a weirdo or anything. She just accepts it. She kind of makes fun of me, calls me a flurf, and what are you flurfing, surfing, and all that. But yeah, I lost a lot of friends. One on Facebook had blocked me. They don't talk to me anymore. But the Bible says the road to the truth is a lonely one. I mean, if I'm gonna lose friends, then whatever. I mean, it's not them that's mad at me. It's the conditioning and programming and indoctrinating substance in their head, and the Mr. Smith that comes up. That's the government. That's the indoctrination. That's not really them. Like, so yeah, it was shitty losing some good friends, man. It's.
Do you have a girlfriend? I grew up since I was, you have a girlfriend or a wife?
Yes.
You got a girlfriend or a wife? What about her? What does she think?
We've had a good couple of nights having some drinks and discussing it. She says a lot of things I may say make sense. She's part of one of my pages. She'll let me talk about it. She's got some questions. She's got a little bit to the biblical side of it as well. But it was the beginning of our relationship, I guess. I mean, it was puppy love there at first. I mean, I could have said the moon was made of cheese and she would just agree with it. But now it's she's pretty good with it. She just lets me go. I mean, she doesn't really ask too many questions.
Yeah.
I mean, some people, like her roommate used to make fun of her for me. Like, why are you dating this guy? You know, she's probably been put down by a couple people, but she's just like, well, then go talk to him. I mean, go make fun of him. Go ask him his questions.
And they never do.
They put me down, make fun of me.
Yeah.
And then they block me, and then they're gone.
Just like the people that'll talk shit about me, but they'll never call in and do anything unscripted. They can write all this long elaborate stuff in a blog.
I've heard you call them out. You're just like, here's my number. Here's my number. Call me. Let's do this. Text me. I mean, here, let's ask me. And you said it too. You're like, call it out. Like, ask me any question you have. Any question. I'll do my best to answer it. But from my perspective and my view, that's what a lot of people don't understand. It's like, when we're researching it, we're coming at it from our view. So everyone's going to be different, and you can't hate on everyone's different views of stuff. Like, for instance, you were talking about how truthers will investigate one thing, but like they'll investigate 9/11, but they won't do flat Earth, and flat earthers won't do Mandela effect, right? Like, I'm into everything. Give me something. Give me the weirdest thing. The moon, I keep bringing back to it. The moon's full of cheese. Okay, well, send me the links. Send me all this. Send me the documents. Let's fucking do it. Let's talk about it. But, okay, you know Devil's Tower?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was talking about this actually with Gloria the other day. And actually, my buddy Phil messaged me today about the giant trees and all that. Yeah, I know about Devil's Tower.
Okay, so there's two sides that I'm looking at now. There's one view that it's a giant tree. And then the other view that I'm looking at is it's a bone structure of an ankle of a foot from a giant.
And my buddy Michael Guadio, who's going to watch this, is going to love that because he's been looking into a lot of these formations and he's been sending me the stuff about it being basically fossilized ancient giants. And I'm going to tell you, the person sending it to me, I find very credible, just like I find you very credible. That's why I interviewed both of you. You guys are both very smart. And this is what we got into in his after show. So if you would like, is this something you know a lot about? Like, have you researched it? Can we elaborate on this in the after show too?
Yeah, it was from Mud Fossils University, from Roger Spur from YouTube and his page. He actually gave me permission to meme some of his stuff. So yeah, I would like to talk about Devil's Tower later for sure. It's
awesome,
very interesting.
Awesome. Awesome. I got a list of stuff we're going to do in the second part of the show. Few more questions. So what are your goals? Like, is your goals for your research and everything, is it for personal knowledge? Is it to benefit you and your family? Is it to spread the knowledge to everybody? Is it kind of a combination of all these, or is it something else?
It's all of it. Flat earthers are always being accused of putting people down and stuff. What happened when you learned about flat earth? You wanted to go tell the neighbor that you've never spoke to in your life that the earth is flat. And what do we get? Backlash. We get put down. People block us. You know, we're flat tards. We're retarded. We don't know. We don't understand science. My goal is just to – I don't even debate anymore. After 4 or 5 years debating on Facebook with these globe heads, it just gets so redundant. Like, I got, like, copy and paste sentences that I just do now. But now I just plant seeds. But, yeah, I just try to get as much people as woken as I can. As much as my family members, ones that still talk to me. I get a lot of people that won't talk to me in person, whatever, but they'll, like, silently talk to me in private messenger and ask questions. I don't
you know what's
name,
funny.
Give
they
names.
Hate they hate
people
the
that will make fun of you. Yeah, they'll make fun of you with their friends. And then when they're not talking anymore, and then they go home, they're like, "Yeah, so what is this about flat Earth you're talking about?" It's like, "Oh yeah, okay, yeah, I see the conditioning and programming in you now."
Yeah,
But
yeah.
yeah, just to get it out there as much as I can, I just plant as many seeds as I can. I don't even debate no more. I barely post on my page anymore because it's all censored, and I've already been in jail like 6 times, and now I'll pick a picture of my thumb. I'll get 40 likes, and I'll pick a picture of like satellites are fake, and there's like one like. You know what I mean? And that's totally censored. From a year ago, I would like I got about 1,200, almost well maybe 1,500, 1,600 friends. I would post something a year ago, 2 years ago, and I would just get hits, 70 shares, 100 likes. And now if I post something truthful, it's they just censor me, and it's just so I don't do it anymore. So I'll just go on the Facebook pages of whatever, plant seeds. They come with the same redundant circular argument rebuttal. It's just pathetic. But yeah, I just plant seeds now. I'm not too much of debating anything like that. But any friends that want to ask me or talk about it, I just give them links, YouTube channels, or else I'll talk with them. But Mr. Smith always comes up. He's always there. Like, in fact, I think it's Mr. Smith asking just so he can get a rebuttal out of us and that kind of shit. But
Yeah. Okay, a couple more questions and then we'll take our quick break and then we're gonna come back with the after show and we're gonna get deep into the thoughts on those topics you were talking about, from the Giants to the Genesis 6 conspiracy to I want to talk a little bit more about the Bible with you and your cloning ideas, DNA swap, all that. And like I say with everybody when I do these interviews, man, I bring people on because I respect them and they are into some of the topics I'm into and they're into a lot of topics. Nobody is going to agree on everything. I straight up told you I disagree with the CERN being involved in Mandel, but that's fine. I have my reasons, you have yours, but I'm not here to debate people on their interviews. I'm here to let them speak and then we can a little more back and forth in the after show. I want to ask you two more questions, okay? One of them is if are there any links or anything you'd like to leave people to contact you, or you rather just, conversations as they come? Do you have a website? Do you have a group that you want, or your Facebook profile, or do you rather just not do that?
I don't. There's just my Facebook page, Courtney Jansen. Check me out. I do have my own, excuse me, my own web page or my own Facebook page. It's SET, Stationary Earth Truth and the Fight Against the Elite. It's nothing for conversation. There's no globe heads. It's all flat earthers and truth seekers. It's just a place to go drop information and get information where there's no debating. I'm so sick of that. There's other pages meant for that.
I don't
But
even
what I
deal with
would like here.
those versus
Pardon me?
groups are all the time. I don't deal with those versus type groups anymore. Globies versus
Yeah,
flat Earth,
it's.
just a bunch of fucking bullshit arguing. And like I tell people all the time, and this isn't like to sound conceited, but like we've been at this a long time. There's different levels. Let the people that have been at this for a year or two deal with those new people because I'm about dealing with progressing the conversation and seeing where we're going from here
Yeah.
rather than dealing with people calling me a friggin' flat tart all the time and telling me I'm a science denier and this and that. Then you'd be like, oh, well, explain to me the experiments that prove. And they don't know shit. They don't even know their own model. And
They
the
don't
crazy
know
part,
shit.
these are the people that call us ignorant while we know both models and they don't even know theirs. And they won't go outside their little box when we were in that box and we left that box. Then we're the ignorant ones.
Right. Yeah. No, I totally hear you. With science, with us not knowing science, to me, flat Earth is the most scientific thing you could ever think of. Just the way the just everything, electromagnetic work, the way the sun's sitting there. Like when the flat Earth is, when flat Earth hit me, I look at a blade of grass differently now. I look at trees differently now. Like, I don't know. It's and with the verses and stuff like that, I've noticed a lot of when I started this, my flat Earth friends now, and so we're some of us have been friends for almost 3 or 4 years. They're like me. They don't even go into these debates anymore because it's just so tedious and gets redundant. But now you're looking at all these new flat earthers coming in. And I hate to say it, we must have been pathetic when we first came up because some of them are just coming up with some of the easy stuff like the sun, the horizon always remains at eye level. And they're so excited on it. And they're like, yeah, you're obviously new. I mean, you're just realizing that now. But The flat earthers now, they're not even doing it. They're staying away from it. They're just, you know, doing videos like with you now, like you did with Joey Rocha.
Rocha.
I've been watching some of his stuff too. He's pretty good there and stuff.
I like him. You know what I like the most about him besides that? I always liked him a lot because he's a very positive guy. He's against the infighting very much. Like, he shows everybody mad respect. He shares everybody's live videos. He tries to get people to, you know, all be friends with each other. And then when I had him on and I interviewed him, you know, and I had watched some of his videos, but when I interviewed him, and then especially in the after show where he went on about the pyramids and all this other stuff, that dude is one smart dude. I don't agree with everything he said, but he is a smart cookie, and I'm glad he's on our side.
Yeah, definitely. There's quite a few guys.
I'm so grateful, man. So grateful for you guys. You guys that I can talk to, like you, Nick Daugherty, who I'm pretty sure you know, right? He was on.
Nick
always makes great he makes great long flat earth and Mandela poster. He'll really explain it. He'll put like 18 fucking pictures with it, and it's like you look at it and it's like, I don't often share other people's posts because I'm unique. I like my own, but there's some people that just make his post, man. I see him and I'm just like, man, I'm sharing that, you know? Or your memes that you make.
Definitely.
That's memes. It's like, oh man. Okay, I'm gonna ask you one more question.
Okay.
Then we're gonna take a break. Okay, so when we cut the feed, just give me 5 minutes. I will inbox you because I just got to set it up. I'll inbox you the link. I'm going to get a snack real quick, take a bathroom break. Everybody else do the same. And about 5 minutes after we air, just refresh my channel and you'll see there's a new video about the start. I'll schedule it for like 15 minutes out. And if you're watching this later and you're not watching live, the link for the after show will be below in the show description, and it'll be right here on the screen. You'll literally just touch the screen in the last 20 seconds of the video. It'll bring you right to it. So the last question I'm going to ask you, and then we'll take that break. And, guys, we're going to open the phone lines, and I'm going to pay attention to the chat in the after show as best I can. I didn't pay attention at all now, and I'm sorry. I just can't because I'm interviewing this dude, all right? So why did you decide to come on my show and give us your story? Why did you decide to do this interview?
Well, I think your work is amazing, especially with the Mandela Effect stuff. I've always wanted to do a podcast or just a show. Flat Earth is great. I just want to get it out there. I want to get my version of the truth. What you're saying with, you don't agree with some of my stuff. I may not agree with your stuff or whatever, but we're talking, conversing, and learning and feeding off each other. Maybe we're going to find a piece. Maybe you're going to find a piece of the puzzle from me, and I'll find a piece of puzzle from you that we didn't know that piece was even there, you know?
Exactly,
I think,
man.
Getting different views from different people, regardless of what you believe, I think collectively we should just get together. And I just want to get it out there. I mean, I when I first started doing memes, I was trying to do like regular memes just to get out there. But then when Flat Earth hit, I just started doing Flat Earth memes, and they were just blowing up, and people just kept taking them. I was getting compliments in Messenger. Like, don't get me wrong. Some memes were not mine. I was just taking other memes that were similar and put them together. But I have about 600 that I've actually done myself, cross-reference material, research first.
That's a lot.
Anything. I've always wanted to do a podcast. You gave me an opportunity. I thought I would take it. I just want to get the truth out there. I mean, come text me, message me right now. Tell me how dumb I am. I don't give a shit. I mean, I was spit on and pushed around at school. Now you think I'm 38 and your little feeble words are going to make me stop looking to like stop posting stuff, or are you trying to scare me? Like, you know, I've gotten death threats. Like, I've got messages from people I don't even know from around the world to call me a wanker and all this shit. Man, like, I don't care what anyone thinks of me. And if I did, I wouldn't be here talking to you. I wouldn't be the truth trooper online. I wouldn't, you know, like, I don't know. I just wanted to get out there. I want to discuss it. And I just want to find different views. Like, I would love to hear your view on the Mandela Effect and where you think it originates from and what the purpose of it is. Maybe I may not agree, but maybe there's a couple pieces, okay, like I said, that are going to fit mine. And then I can lean towards what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I might say I think in, you know, our collective consciousness and the creator, you might say it's CERN, but you might have a piece of information about CERN when I dismissed it that I never looked at, and I might, you know, say maybe that has nothing to do with it, or I might tell you something about my side of it, and you might say, oh, well, maybe that's part of it, or maybe they're both in conjunction with each other, and without us sharing our knowledge on each, maybe the things won't click and we never know. You know what I mean?
Right. Definitely. Yeah. No, 100%, man. And I would glad anytime you got time, I would love to be part of anytime other shows, anything you got. And I love all the stuff you send me, man. Keep sending it. Keep talking to me in message, private messenger. Keep sending me your videos. Like the last 3 or 4 Mandelas you sent me, man, you've just been blowing my mind, dude. I congratulate you for being on top of that. You're the top level of Mandela for sure. For sure, man. 9/11 and Mandela, you're up there. Like, you know your shit. I was a little bit nervous coming on here today, but you definitely know your shit.
I appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to any questions you want to ask me in the after show. I think that'll be interesting for people. So why don't we take our little break now? I'll just tell people once again, if you're in the chat, we are going to open the phone lines, and we're going to pay attention to the chat the best we can. And answer any questions. Any of you guys are welcome to call in. If you want to take the number down now, I'll throw it in the chat. But as you guys know, this chat will disappear or whatever. But here is the phone number if you guys want to just get it ready. It's 978-435-0006. All right, guys. And or if you guys just want to ask from the chat, that's cool. So what we're going to do now is we went almost 2 hours with the interview. I try and keep it to an hour.
Really,
we're gonna,
man.
Yeah, I know that when we come back, we're going to get at least another hour in. So,
well,
yeah, I know.
The thing, though, it's when you got good conversation and it's such interesting topics, you could just go. What'd you say you did? Like 8 hours? You did an 8-hour show, 9-hour show you used to do with you talking?
Oh, I've done, yeah. Yeah, I've done a lot of the 9/11 shows we used to do, like in 2010, 2011, when I was first breaking down the hoax. I mean, I had done 6, 7, 8 hour shows, not just hangout calls talking to people, like actual shows that are 6+ hours. And it just flew by. But I know if we do a 6-hour show, I know how people that aren't, you know, I'm trying to I have to walk a fine line because I have to try and keep progressing because I like to be advanced and progress things. I have to at some point scale things back to bring new people in. And then I also have to dance around 3 different topics between Flat Earth, Mandela, and 9/11 and try and make people look at all of them. And that's why if you watch my shows, you'll notice I'll do Mandela for like 30 minutes and then I'll go to Flat Earth, then I'll go back to Mandela, then I'll go to 9/11 to try and keep the audience engaged because I know everybody's not going to just be into all 3, but I'm trying to be that bridge and get everybody to look. And I don't want you to believe everything I say or anything everybody says. I just want you to take what I say and look into it. Yeah, research it.
Don't believe us. Don't believe us. Don't make fun of us. Just grab our information and go in it with it with your conditioned and programmed indoctrinated cognitive dissonance mind and just cross-reference material. I guarantee you, you're going to find something that we may be leaning towards something that may be right because it's definitely this mainstream media. And like, it could. How about this? The world may not be flat, and it may not be round, but it's definitely not what NASA says it is. I can tell you that much right now.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, guys, we're gonna do when we come back. There's some topics that Courtney wants to talk about: cloning, DNA swaps, the giants, mud fossils, Genesis 6 conspiracy. Maybe you could talk a little bit about your farmer's market and why you started that. I think that's interesting because a lot of people are into eating healthy and stuff. Maybe you don't want to talk about that, but I think that'd be a cool thing to talk about. And maybe a little bit more about what the Bible means to you in regards to Flat Earth and Mandela. I know we touched on it. I think we could go a little deeper on that. So why don't we end the show now? And guys, it's 11:20 now. So as long as it's cool with you, Courtney, it's 20-minute break. Cool. We'll launch at 11:40. We'll tell everybody 11:40. It's 20 past now. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to send you the link in 5 minutes because I have to create it once I crash this show. So everybody that's listening,
so 20 minutes from now, then okay.
20 minutes, guys. We're gonna reboot. I'll send you the link in Facebook, Courtney. Everybody, all you guys got to do is come back to my channel in about 5 or 10 minutes, and you'll see that the new show is created. And anybody that's watching this later, this is broadcast on my backup channel, YouTube.com/user, like everybody's name is, and then it's / The Real News Online. That's where we stream live. But most of my content, all of it actually, there's a few here because we've been banned a month. So we've done live shows here, but they are all also on my main channel along with about 80 other videos. And I got playlists set up. my 9/11 shows in chronological order from 2010 to now to walk you through the hoax. I got all my shows on one list, and I got all these interviews, which are also on the main list, but they're all also on their own list. So you can go through all the different people. Everybody's had a different story. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I please hope all you guys come to the after show if you like this, because we are going to get a lot deeper. But if I don't split it in two shows, this is going to be a four-hour interview, and it's less likely people are going to click on it. So that's the only reason we do it. And anybody that watches it and it's interested, they're going to definitely click to see the rest of it. So we're going to take that break now. Thank you, everybody. You're listening to Dose of Reality Radio with Brian Stavely, my guest Courtney Jansen, and we will be back in 20 minutes. All right, guys?